As former President Trump gears up for another rally, who would win in the race for the White House? Trump or Florida Governor Ron DeSantis? Democrat Terry McAuliffe loses a key endorsement in the race for Virginia governor. Plus, the number of catch and release incidents has skyrocketed under Joe Biden. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the race for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. Who will it be? There are a number of names being talked about, and several high-profile members of the GOP are already planning trips to New Hampshire to start gauging interest. From Nikki Haley to Mike Pompeo to Tim Scott to Mike Pence to Marco Rubio, there is certainly not a short list of who wants to be president. However, regardless of whether any of the ones I just listed end up making the run, there are two names which currently stand head and shoulders above the rest. And those are Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former President Donald Trump. That's it. The others barely register a blip in straw polls or public opinion. So who will it be? Former President Trump says he knows the answer. And here's the story. Less than a week before he returns to the state that kicks off the race for the White House, former President Trump says in a new interview that if he runs again for president, most other Republicans would drop out. But if Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose standing among conservatives has skyrocketed over the past year and a half, also makes a bid for the 2024 GOP nomination, Trump emphasizes, "I'd beat him." At CPAC back in February, Trump came out on top in a straw poll of attendees. A few months later, a similar straw poll of conservatives had DeSantis coming out on top. Most recently, Trump topped the chart at another GOP leadership conference. So what does this all mean for 2024? Here's more. Trump remains very popular and influential among Republican voters and GOP politicians as he continues to play a kingmaker's role in party politics and repeatedly flirts with launching a third straight presidential campaign to try and return to the White House. DeSantis saw his popularity surge among Republican voters in his state and around the nation over the past year and a half, thanks in large part to his combative pushback against COVID-19 restrictions amid the pandemic. DeSantis is up for re-election in 2022, and at least publicly, that is where he's putting all of his focus. The Florida governor was recently asked by Sean Hannity about his plans for running for president, and here was his response.
Yeah, I'm not considering anything beyond doing my job. We've got a lot of stuff going on in Florida. I'm going to be running for re-election next year. And we're also working on a lot of things in the state beyond just the governor's race. We got school board races, Sean. We want to make sure people are not supporting critical race theory, making sure that, you know, parents have the ability to send their kid to school the way they want to. So there's a lot of huge issues. That is way down the road. It's not anything that I'm planning for.
Well. On the Trump side, the former president recently spoke with Yahoo Finance and addressed a possible head-to-head matchup with DeSantis. "I don't think I will face him," Trump said in the interview when asked about possibly facing DeSantis in a 2024 GOP presidential nomination showdown. "I think most people would drop out. I think he would drop out." But Trump touted that, "If I face him, I'd beat him, like I would beat everyone else." For those of you who watched my latest Saturday live stream, I asked Trump's former senior advisor, Jason Miller, about the possibilities of a 2024 campaign. Here's what Miller said.
"Well, I can tell you who I think will run on the Republican side. I say I think because, of course, no formal decision, and I don't want to get myself in any trouble with President Trump. But I do think that President Trump runs in 2024. I think that he's the Republican nominee. He's still the flag bearer for the party. I think especially as people look and see what's happening at the southern border, they see the Afghanistan disaster, they see the chaos in the Middle East, they see China's extension of the 9-dash line, now essentially going to Honolulu. China's really unchecked, especially with their flyovers over Taiwan and the way that they're becoming increasingly aggressive in the South China Sea. Hyperinflation at home. People are saying, yikes, Joe Biden, I thought if we just had all the mean tweets stop that you would fix these things. But in fact, he's actually created all these crises. I think President Trump will be the Republican nominee.
That's former Trump senior advisor Jason Miller. And if you missed that interview, you can catch the full show at the link above. So what do you think? Who will be the 2024 GOP presidential nominee? Trump? DeSantis? Someone else? Let me know in the comments. All right, so next, let's talk about the race for the Virginia governorship. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about Liberal Democrat Terry McAuliffe, who was Virginia's governor, and he's trying to get the job back. Standing in his way is a very strong Republican candidate, Glenn Youngkin. The race is incredibly tight, and if Youngkin can break through, the win would send shockwaves throughout the Democrat Party. Youngkin is tied or ahead in recent polling. A gubernatorial debate held last week showed not only how strong Youngkin is, but how out of touch McAuliffe is with the needs of real people living in Virginia, not the woke liberal elite. Here's Youngkin on education.
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents. In fact, in Fairfax County this past week, we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library they had never seen. It was shocking. And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there. You believe school systems should tell children what to do. I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education.
Parents should be in charge. What a concept. It's a concept that is just completely foreign to radical leftists. Just listen to McAuliffe's response.
So first of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand what the laws were because he's never been involved here in helping Virginia. But it was not. The parents had to write to veto bills, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Unbelievable. But that is the mindset of the left. Government is in charge and everyone else has to just fall in line. Well, now McAuliffe is taking heat for dismissing the endorsement of the Hampton Roads Black Caucus. Apparently, if you're black, the only option, according to the Democrats, is to vote for the Democrats. Following the announcement of the endorsement, McAuliffe campaign spokesman Christina Frundlich, she tweeted this. I love it when the Youngkin team tweets huge news about a Republican group endorsing their Republican candidate. A Republican group? Clearly the McAuliffe campaign has a very short memory and a lack of basic knowledge of politics in Virginia. The Hampton Roads Black Caucus has a history of supporting both Republicans and Democrats. The HRBC previously endorsed Democrat Cheryl Turpin in 2017. That same year, the group also endorsed Democrat Ralph Northam for governor. And in 2013, the Hampton Roads Black Caucus endorsement for governor went to Terry McAuliffe. Now, the caucus is dismissed by the McAuliffe campaign as just some Republican group. Maybe the endorsement just shows how bad McAuliffe is for Virginia. Following the endorsement, Youngkin tweeted this. I am so humbled and honored to receive the endorsement of the HR Black Caucus. Together, we are going to make Virginia the best place to live, work, and raise a family for all Virginians. Let's get to work. So, that's the latest from Virginia, and it looks like the McAuliffe campaign is feeling the heat. Something needs to change, and for those parents who actually want to have a say in their children's education, it's clear that the only one listening is Youngkin. All right. Next, here's an update on the southern border and Joe Biden's complete unwillingness to do anything about it. The Democrats and the far left want open borders. They want people pouring in, unchecked, unvetted, untested. They know that the statistics show that the vast majority of illegal aliens end up on government assistance. And so, to the Democrats, that means power and control. Here's the latest regarding the Biden policy of catch and release. In August 2020, the Trump administration managed something stunning. Border Patrol agents caught more than 47,000 illegal immigrants and immediately released just 10 of them into the interior. This August, under President Biden, the Border Patrol made more than 195,000 arrests and released 43,941 people, an increase of more than 430,000%. Security experts say that that's the difference between a secure border and an unprecedented migrant surge. Well, I wouldn't be classified as a security expert, but I can certainly tell the difference between a secure border and what's happening now. The reason there is such a surge is because the word has gotten out. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the far left running the government want open borders. Come here, cross the border, and you can just disappear. That word has spread, and rightfully so, because that is exactly what is happening. Here's more. If you tell the migrant they're not going to be released, they're not going to come. If a migrant knows they will not be released into the United States awaiting their immigration process, they will not come, said Mark Morgan, who served as acting head of Customs and Border Protection in the Trump administration. The Biden administration insists the issue isn't what's happening in the U.S., but rather what's happening elsewhere. The problem and the solution lie in the push factors, helping build up living conditions in other countries to discourage people from leaving, the White House says. The Biden administration is seriously thinking we will believe their story. This isn't about push factors. It's about pull factors. No more remain in Mexico, reinstating catch and release, abusing the asylum process. All of these Biden policies act as magnets, pulling people into the country. A total of about 1.5 million people so far this year under Biden. The numbers are just dramatic, and it shows a clear difference between a president who takes border security seriously and one who thinks there should be no borders at all, regardless of who's coming in. It's a disgrace, and the border needs to be closed now. All right, next, speaking of closing things down, let's talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose latest statement about keeping things closed is drawing ridicule from Americans across the country. Fauci was speaking on CBS's Face the Nation this weekend and said that it's just too soon to tell if people should get together for Christmas. Are you kidding me? Do you think Fauci has watched a single college football game this season? Or maybe a baseball game or any large gathering? People are gathering all the time. People are doing business all the time. And yet Fauci is issuing another warning to families about Christmas. Here's the exchange.
We can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time. Let's focus like a laser on continuing to get those cases down.
Here's the deal. Fauci is just a media magnet. He knows that there's no reason to talk to him if there's good news. So as Americans across the country are getting back to normal, the only thing he emphasizes is gloom and doom. But the other side is the media. They ask these kinds of questions. Certainly this host knows that people are gathering and have been gathering in large numbers inside and outside. So of course families are going to get together for Christmas, as if this television host and Dr. Fauci have anything to say about it. The response on social media has been awesome so far. Here's Spectator contributing editor Stephen Miller. Has Fauci weighed in at all on the indoor maskless award shows? If not, why not? Great comment. And how about the Met Gala with all those celebrities without masks on while the service staff had to wear masks? Or the Emmys with a room full of liberal elite not wearing masks? Oh, but with Christmas? With family? Yep, we should actually devote part of our news program to address that. Here's OutKick founder Clay Travis. Dr. Fauci said today it's too soon to know whether people will be able to gather for Christmas. Insanity. Who in the world is still listening to this dude? The answer is no one. The politics of fear has run its course. People can study the data. People can make up their own minds. We certainly don't need Anthony Fauci to tell us anything about Christmas. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Wednesday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.